الحمد لله رب العالمين وعد عباده المؤمنين بالأجر العظيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز وعجلت إليك ربي لترضى وقال الله عز وجل خلق الإنسان من عجل وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite and abundant praise and glory and shukr is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has bestowed upon us this beautiful and sacred day of Jumu'ah within which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us a great amount of reward, promised us salvation, forgiveness and pardon for our sins. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our attendance here today and make this a means for our success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. We all bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we testify that indeed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is indeed the blessed, most noble, prestigious and honorable and beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the peace and blessings of Allah Almighty be upon His noble messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and upon His beautiful and purified and noble family and upon the illustrious companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, we have gathered here to strengthen our bonds of brotherhood and sisterhood and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by revisiting and reflecting upon the glorious Qur'an and also reflecting upon the beautiful seerah and the of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama. So as we have entered into a new year, I wanted to discuss a few things just as we discussed previously and we reflected upon 2020, the passing of a decade, and the things that have taken place and how insan has stayed the same or whether he has changed. And we had a fruitful discussion on that. For those who have missed it, please do go on the website and you can download the khutbah and also view it as well online. But today is also in connection to the new year and how you approach the new year and whether you will be eager towards the dunya or eager towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So often it is human nature that we speak too soon. Somebody says something and without really thinking or contemplating about an answer, we just answer back immediately. It's just an impulse. It's the fitrat of insan just to reply back or to be witty, to be snidey and to have a quick answer back or to show yourself as an intelligent or a person who's very astute or on the ball, that you give a response back immediately. But later you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't the best response. I should have said something better or something more holistic, or I should have used better words, because each word has a different meaning and the words that you use elicit a certain amount of emotional responses in an individual. So often we speak too soon and we react also in a reckless manner as well, depending on what is in front of us. We react differently to our wives, we react differently to our children, and we certainly react differently to our employees and our employers and our friends, and we also behave differently when we come into the masjid. So our reactions are also based on some form of impulse as well. And we make poor decisions often, more than good decisions. We make poor decisions and we also give ultimatums to our children. You better do this, or to our wife or our family or other people, you better do this, one year and war, etc., etc. So we do as part of our fitrah, we behave somewhat irrationally, and we also behave impatiently quite a lot of the time, an overwhelming amount of time. And as a result of that, we end up harming ourselves, first and foremost, with our words, with our actions, with our behavior. And we also harm other people as well, with our words and our actions as well. We can insult other people, we can harm other people, we can injure other people as well. And as a result of our impatience and our reckless behavior, and also by not thinking and processing and reflecting upon the actions that we're about to do, we often end up consuming alcohol or having the wrong suhba, wrong company, wrong type of people that we associate ourselves with. Or we can get into drugs very easily, we can end up gambling, we can end up having illicit relationships and having and taking haram income. And all of these things happen when a person does not take a moment to reflect and think and ponder and to process the information before him, rather than just doing those things on impulse. So even the food that we buy, it is on impulse. We see it, we like it, we devour the food very, very quickly. Give your child a lollipop, give your child an ice cream, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. If you see a child and you take them to town or anywhere and they see some toys, and that's it. It is their haste and their impulse, and they constantly want that thing, that item, that toy, whatever it is. They want it, they want it, they want it, but they don't really think, is it good for me? Is it beneficial for me? Will I play with it? Will I keep it? Will I... all of these things, how many things do I have already at home? So whether it's toys or food or actions, our behavior, the words that we have, or even items, you impulse buy a car, you impulse buy another item, there's a sale on, you impulse buy all of these things. This is part of human nature, and at times as well, due through our anger and also our impulses and haste, we can divorce other people, we can say harmful and horrible things to other people as well, which breaks the relationships, which also breaks the family apart as well. Or as a result of our haste, we can end up stop practicing our religion or stop protecting our religion as well. All of these elements that we've just very, very quickly and briefly discussed comes through one particular element of the fitrat of insan, which is isti'jal. Isti'jal, which basically means haste in the Arabic language. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, that this is how insan has been created. But in another hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that at-ta'anni, that calmness and hudu, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa la'ajalatu min ash-shaytan. So calmness, by thinking, reflecting, processing the things that are in front of you, whether it is a big person who's about to beat you up, or a small person, somebody saying things or hurting you, harming you, all of these things that you are constantly surrounded by, to process and to understand those things before you react, before you say something and do something, this wudu, this calmness, this ta'anni, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Whereas haste, impulsive, not thinking and processing, these elements that we do within our nature is actually from shaitan. So our inherent disposition, which basically means our fitrah, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually created us, He's created us with anger, which can benefit you and also which can harm you, depending on how you process that anger. And similarly, ajala, which is haste, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with that element as well within our nature, within our fitrah. So this is a great challenge, just where you overcome your ego, your nafs, your hawa, you overcome your anger, your shahawat, you must also overcome your haste as well, your impulses within your life, because it has a huge amount of consequences and ramifications in your personal, in your social, in your communal life, in your social, and you also in your religious and financial life as well. So haste has two elements, two-edged sword. It can either be blameworthy, the way that you behave with your family, with your children, with your society, with your community, even with your religion. It can be blameworthy, i.e. can be to your nuksan, it can be to your detriment, or haste can also be praiseworthy as well. When you are anger, and you are angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the sharia has been broken, because the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being transgressed, that anger is important, that ghayra is also important as well. But when you are angry for your nafs, for all of these things, then that anger is not beneficial for you. Similarly, this haste, isti'jal, can be beneficial for you, or it can be harmful to you as well. So we have to define our actions, and we have to understand that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us. So Allah azza wa jal in the Quran mentions, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ, that insan was created of haste, that he has this hasteness within himself. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that man is ever hasty to do things, very eager and impulsive to do things without processing and really thinking about the consequences of our actions. And in connection to this, in Tafsir al-Qurtubi, it is mentioned that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam informed the Sahaba ikram that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam his soul, and the soul just reached his eyes, so it came from the top and it went down. So when it reached, the soul reached the eyes of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, what is the first thing that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam did? He saw all of the beauty and the fruits of heavens, and he wanted to reach out. This is that haste, that eagerness, that impulse. He wanted to reach out towards those fruits. But when the soul reached his remaining body, he desired to eat, he wanted to eat. He had this shahwa, this desire to eat. So he tried to stand up before the soul had actually reached his feet. And this is what even children do as well. Before they can walk and they talk, they try to do things beyond their capacity and beyond their means. And this is what Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he saw something, he wanted it, he wanted to reach out for it, he wanted to eat it, he wanted to get to it. This is haste, this is impulse. And this can either benefit you in your life, in your workplace, with your wife, with your children, with your community, with your society, with your nation, or it can be to your harm and detriment as well. How you understand and process that haste in your own individual life is all very, very important for you to understand. So we see a few examples from the lives of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, they are also a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also come from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. So if you look at the story very briefly, the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Khizr, may Allah ta'ala be pleased with them both. What happens? What is the overwhelming story that you learn from that? That Musa alayhi salam was sent to go and learn from Sayyidina Khizr, but due to his hasteness, due to his impulses, due to his impatience, that he's very, very hasty. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? Why did you break this boat? Why did you fix this wall? Why did you do this action or that action? He was constantly being hasty. And what does Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam replied? قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. That did I not say to you that you will not be able to be patient with me? You are hasty. You constantly want to know, you rather than understand and reflect, there's a greater scheme of works around you. So he said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that you are, due to your hastiness and due to your impulseness, you are unable to learn more from me. So even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that had Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam been more patient and less hasty, he would have learned even more of the hikayat and the wisdoms and the hidden things from Sayyidina Khizr alayhi salam. And we also learn from Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam as well, that when he walked away from his community, he saw that they were not listening to him, that they were denying his call and rejecting his call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and continuing in their wrong ways. So in his haste, he rejected his people and his nation, and he went away. And as you know the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, then he was swallowed by a whale, where he spent the next period of his lifetime in extreme distress. This is how the reaction of his haste was. And then he stayed in the belly of the whale for that period of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions this and reminds this to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that be patient for the decision of your Lord. وَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. That be, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was cautioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from displaying a similar amount of haste in his actions, in his behavior towards his own nation. That therefore be patient. Do not be hasty for the decision of your Lord. Do not be like the companion of the fish, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, when he called out Isnada Rabbahu, when he called out to his Lord whilst he was in distress. So as a result of his haste, then he was in a state of distress. So your actions can lead you towards ease and hudu and calmness and tranquility and peace, or your actions can also lead you towards distress and take you away from that. So similarly in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another example, that every time Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, or sometimes when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam would descend and bring with him the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, out of his eagerness, out of his being haste, you know, being eager, wanting to preserve and record all of these verses of the Quran before he would possibly forget these particular verses, he would recite them very, very quickly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam not to be hasty. That do not be haste with the Quran before its revelation is made complete to you. And say, oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was even telling the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that our interactions with our community, the way that they behave, the way that they reject us, we need to be calm and process those things before we speak and before we react to them. And similarly, our reaction and our behavior towards our deen, towards our Quran, also needs to be in a state of contemplation and hudu and calmness before we approach our deen as well. In all of our social aspects, if you do things in haste, then you will also say, oh, I need to go and fix that mistake, and I'm sorry for this, and I'm sorry for that. All of these things because of the haste that you had in your actions or in your behavior. So from the Islamic perspective, as I mentioned at the beginning, we can categorize haste into two categories. One which is blameworthy, are things that you do which are not beneficial for you and blameworthy in the actions that you have, or one which is praiseworthy. And very, very quickly, inshallah, Al-Aziz, we'll go through these two particular elements. So haste when praying, and this is something which is there, it is rampant here in our community and also in the nation, throughout the Muslim nation as well. Haste when praying, when we rushing through our wudu and not taking our time to actually make sure that we fulfill all of the obligations, the sunan and the wajibat and the fara'id of our wudu, just going quickly like, you know, maghrulaw, and just do your wudu. No, doing your wudu in a calm manner, in a comprehensive manner, is very, very important. And also haste in our salah as well. When we're praying behind the imam, people pray like it's a race. You know, we are human beings, but we still can see from the side of our eyes, and we can see that we haven't gone into ruku, people are already going into ruku. We've just about come out of ruku and people are already stood up. We're stood up and we're doing, you know, the qiyam, and we haven't even bent our knees yet, and people are already halfway down towards their sajda. They're racing with the imam. This is haste in wudu. Haste in salah is blameworthy. It is not something which is acceptable within our deen when you're racing with the imam, and even in your own salah as well. Bang, 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 sir maro, and that's it, that your work is done. Racing in your own salah, rushing in your own salah, being hasty in your own salah, these are all blameworthy acts within our deen, within our salah, within our wudu. And this is not something that you should be proud of, something that we need to reflect upon and ask ourselves, what are we doing? Is this what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from us? A man once came in the Masjid al-Nabwi, in the Masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was there, and he prayed. He greeted the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and he prayed his salah, and then he greeted the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And what did the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam respond to him? He said, Irji', return. Return and do what? Go back and repeat your prayer, for you have not prayed. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go back and return, because you haven't prayed. What were you doing, this action, what was it? It wasn't even yoga or anything like that. It was just, you know, you're going faster than Usain Bolt. Go back and pray, for you have not prayed. So he went back the second time, and he did the same thing, and he asked again, and the Prophet ﷺ said, go back again for the second time and repeat your prayer. And then he came the third time, and the Messenger ﷺ sent him back again. Go back again and repeat your prayer. Why? Because you are praying in haste. You are not praying in the correct manner. There is a haqq of your body. There is a haqq of your Lord. You need to stand until your muscles are relaxed. You need to bow down and make sure that your muscles are relaxed. You need to be in the correct position. You need to stand up again. You need to go into sajda in this particular manner. Every single position is a position of comfort, of calmness, of ease, not a position of haste. And this is what the Messenger was teaching that individual. And he said, by Allah, I can't do anything better than this. Please teach me. So the Messenger taught him all of the positions and how to fulfill the rights of those positions in calmness, in wudu. Now ask yourself, how do we pray? How do we do our wudu? How are we competing with the imam? How are we praying on our own as individuals? What would the Messenger say to us? Of course you'd say, go back and repeat your prayers again. There was one individual who had been praying like this for 40 years. And the Messenger said that had I not seen the way that you have been praying, then all of your 40 years of worship would have been rejected. So go back and repeat those 40 years of worship that you have wasted because you have not prayed them in the correct manner. In our haste, we pray quickly, quickly. Why? Go back and watch what's on TV. Go back and carry on with the match. Go back and meet our friends. Go back and do all of these things. In our haste, we pray and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That worship is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather the calmness and the tranquility and the peace in our salah is very, very important. Another part of our human nature is haste in our du'as. We are doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah give me this, oh Allah give me this, give me this. And when we don't get it, then we start saying, oh Allah ta'ala doesn't like me, I'm not going to pray anymore, I'm not going to do dua anymore. What's the point of giving sadaqah and khairat? What's the point of doing all of these things? This is also haste in your approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something, then He gives you that which is beneficial for you. If He takes it away, then that also it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He reserves it for you on the day of Qiyamah, it is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes we do du'as against ourselves, i.e. we do bad du'a, which is doing dua against ourselves. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, do not make dua against your own selves, neither your children or your belongings. How many times in haste, in anger, in impulse, we say something to our wife, we say something to our children, and we say something to even ourselves, I hate my life, I hate this, I hate all of these things, why me, why God? We say it. This is a dua, this is a nida, this is a call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say to our children, how dare you made my life a misery, you're this, you're this, you're that. We say to our belongings, this is our, what a headache, what is this, my car is broken down, this is broken down, why do I have all of these problems? Constantly doing du'as against ourselves. This is a state of haste that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, that don't do these kind of du'as in a state of haste. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala furthermore said, the du'a of every one of you will be granted as long as he does not become hasty by saying, Ya Allah, I have made du'a but it has not been answered by you. So again, being hasty in your salah, being hasty in your dua is not something which is praiseworthy, but rather it is something which is blameworthy. And it is something that we need to overcome and we need to correct in our life and in our actions. Otherwise, we're going to be in a constant state of loss, of depression, of anxiety and suffering within our life. Haste also in knowledge as well. How many students do you know, I know personally, who have gone to college but not completed their course because they can't hack it? Oh, it's too long, it's too boring. Who can be bothered to complete this course? Who can be bothered to do their A-levels? Who can be bothered to go to their lectures and complete all of the lectures? Who can be bothered to do this, 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 this? Everything is just instant gratification. No, complete your knowledge, complete your course, complete your training. People are attending late, whether you come to the masjid. The Jummah is a prime example. Children are off, but where are the parents and where are the children encouraging their children to come early to the masjid? But anyhow, you know the reality of that program, situations. We are arriving late, but we are leaving early to all of these things as well. You want instant food, instant gratification in the media, but this does not also apply to instant and beneficial knowledge as well. You need to slowly absorb the knowledge, you need to understand the knowledge, process the knowledge, and then apply the knowledge in your life. It's not just instant, see a post, like it, and share it, and that's it, your job is done. Ilm is much more greater than that, much more deeper than that. If you look at Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he said that I only started issuing verdicts, fatawa, after 70 scholars approved me doing so. So he absorbed that knowledge, understood that knowledge, processed that knowledge, and after he got the approval of 70 shuyukh, then he said, now I will give my knowledge and benefit other people. But in this day and age, everybody just like, share, forward, and that's it. And you think that your knowledge is done, your knowledge is complete. Knowledge is far more greater than that and far more superior than that. Due to our haste and our nature, we don't consume the right knowledge. We don't process the right knowledge in the correct way. Haste is also obtaining money in the correct manner, also obtaining the provisions in the correct manner as well. Everybody wants to do what in this day and age? They want to get rich, and they want to get rich quick. That's it. They don't care where the money comes from. They don't care what laws they have to break. They want the latest cars, the latest gadgets, the latest property, the latest everything, and all the amount of money as quickly as possible. It doesn't matter if due to their haste, it leads them to fraud, it leads them to pay money, it leads them to drugs, it leads them to interest, it leads them to alcohol-based transactions, anything else, it doesn't matter. We just want to, in our haste, get rich, get quick, have the latest cars, have all of these things. This is what we want due to the haste of insan. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in regards to this, mentioned that no person shall die till they have first consumed their full lifespan. So whatever is written for you, you will receive that. There's no point of being hasty. You will receive that. It is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. He will never break His promise. So you will always receive your full lifespan, neither a minute or an hour or a second less than what has been prescribed for you. And similarly, you will receive all of your provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. So be cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Your life will be given to you in full. Your provisions will be given to you in full. You have to earn it in the correct way. Don't be hasty. You're not going to get it 1 second earlier or 1 second later, as it was prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be wary, be cautious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek your provisions in a beautiful way, in a good manner, in a calm manner, in a respectful manner. And do not let your hurry, do not let your haste for your provisions push you to seek it via sinful ways. For that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be attained through His obedience. This is a very, very powerful statement from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that you're going to get what you're going to get. Neither more, neither less. Exactly what you're going to get. So get it through the correct manner, through the correct means, the correct process from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the halal way. You're not going to get rich just overnight. Whatever is written for you will come to you, but you need to achieve that in the correct manner. So those were haste that people have, haste in their salah, haste in their wudu, haste in their dua, haste in their knowledge, haste in obtaining their money and their wealth and their provisions. And you can see how harmful it is to the individual, and how all of these actions will ultimately lead an individual away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you also have the haste that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, the haste which is beneficial, the haste which is praiseworthy for us as well, which is rushing to the good deeds. How many people are hasty to run to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Jum'ah? We slowly creep in, trickle in on the day of Jum'ah. We slowly trickle in to the mahafil and the majalis and to our dars and everything else. Slowly we come in. But we don't run and rush towards these things. If there was a sale on for 75%, everybody would rush to that sale. If it was online, everybody would rush and be hasty to impulse buy all of these things. It is beneficial for you, it is a sale for you, you save money, you save time, you get the best clothing. Everybody's hasty towards that. But the sale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place 5 times a day. The rahmah, the barakah, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Jum'ah. How many of us are eager, are hasty to run and to leave everything and to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It doesn't work the other way, does it? So rushing towards good deeds, this is the haste that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed within us to do good deeds, to do khair. So when speaking about the journey to prayer, to come to salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْ فَاسْعَوْ فَاسْعَوْ. This is the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses. Don't walk to the masjid. Don't trickle into the masjid. Don't kharamma kharamma tail tail aram sukunal come to the masjid. No. Fas'au, rush to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rush to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us, in all honesty, apply this rule on every Jum'ah? We don't. We aramnal have our breakfast, aramnal get up, aramnal have our bath, and aramnal do all of these things. But and then we aramnal come to the masjid. We don't rush to the masjid. How do you rush to your work when you're late? How do you rush to your places when you know there's a sale going on? How do you behave? It completely changes. Everything changes on Boxing Day. Everything changes on, you know, all these other Black Fridays and stuff like that. Your behavior completely changes. When it comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chalo khair pahunch jawange. As long as we get the first rak'ah or second rak'ah, as long as we get the Jummah khutbah, it's fine. No, it's not fine. The angels are there appointed on all of the gates, all of the streets, towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the imam stands here, the angels close their book and their deeds. Jo ayah, so ayah, who knows who came, who didn't come. What matters is those who came when the imam was present, when he began. That's what matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who want the khair, they rush, they are eager, and they haste towards the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the pursuit of paradise, of success and happiness, he mentions, wasari'u ila مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that compete, race with one another. We race with one another in the cars and online and various other transactions and dealings, but we don't race towards Jannah. We don't race towards the khayr. We don't race towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where your haste should be benefiting you. You're rushing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're racing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the pursuing of getting closer to him, what does he mention? He says, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. This is how he mentions. Doesn't say, just come to me. Ajo, ajo. Do you know how a child says, ajo, beta, come to me slowly? No. Allah ta'ala says, فَفِرُّوا. This comes from firar. Farra yafiru, which means flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way a prisoner flees the prison, the way a person escapes from some calamity, and you're going towards this protection, this safety. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Flee the world. Flee all of these things. Run away from that and come to me. Come towards your protection, towards your salvation, towards khair, towards rahmah, towards barakah. Run to me. Flee to me. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. But we don't apply any of these things. We don't rush to the deen. We don't rush to our Lord. We don't race to our deen or our Lord, or flee to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll flee to the dunya and all of the treasures of the dunya. We'll race to the dunya and all of the pleasures of the dunya. And we'll rush to the dunya, but not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam mentioned in the Quran, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى, that I rush to you, I haste towards myself to you, O my Lord, so that you can be pleased. This is how Musa alayhi salam was living, and how we should be living as well. We need to be rushing to uphold the rights of our deen, of other people, of our sha'air, of our deen. We need to be rushing towards protecting the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us, the trust of the Quran and Sunnah, the trust that other people give us as well. We need to be rushing to perform our hajj. We've got money, we'll do it next year. Well, I'm busy this year, we'll delay it and we'll delay it and we'll delay it. No, rush towards performing your hajj, towards fulfilling your obligation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rush towards, be hasty towards giving your zakah, giving your fitrah, giving your sadaqah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rush towards and be hasty towards helping the needy in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us are rushing and fleeing and racing towards repenting and doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, you have to use this opportunity, use this new year to rush to Allah, to repent to Allah, to pray your salah, to give your zakah, to do your hajj, to do your umrah, to maintain all of the rights and obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially for our youngsters, they should be rushing towards getting married, protecting their honor, protecting their izzah, protecting their eyes and their gaze, protecting their iman. This is a very, very important aspect as well. Rushing towards honoring our parents as well. Rushing towards reading the majestic and beautiful Quran and following the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we are all hasty in our nature, in our speech, in our words, in our actions, and that often has a negative effect on those around us and also ourselves. But what reality is, use that haste and use it towards khair, towards deen, towards your Lord, and see that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this element of haste within you, and it is for you to become better, for you to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and enable us all to rush, to race, and to flee towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.